This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
On his website, he tells himself to be a Christian and going to the right.
This guy was not in any way associated with active Christianity or active performing of any faith.
Lord, I pray you bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
These parables are not about us. These parables are about him, the Christ, who needs no repentance.
Lord of truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well, it was 6 years ago. It was 2005 when Terry Schindler Schiavo breathed her last. She had been dehydrated and starved to death under a court order. The story made national news for months, but does her legacy continue even today? Are there more cases like Terry's even today? We'll be talking about that with Colleen Carroll Campbell for the first part of this hour of Issues Etc. live this Monday, August the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Colleen, Dr. Jeff Gibbs will join us. Yesterday, the church was remembering Joseph of Arimathea. He was the man who buried the body of Jesus in his own tomb. We'll see what there is to remember about him and his act of devotion and faithfulness. And then Jill Rishi will join us to talk about polygamy and Mormonism. She's from Walter Martin Ministries. Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Most people know the name, Terry Schindler Schiavo. They have a vague recollection from the 2005 case that was nationwide news and a bit of a controversy. You recently heard from the members of Terry's family. What did you discover now so long after her tragic death?
Well, as you mentioned, she died in 2005, and this is in some ways a distant memory for many of us. We remember the media circus and the big fight over whether she would be starved to death, which she ultimately was, on a judge's order at her husband or her estranged husband's request. And we remember how her mother and her father and her brother and her sister fought passionately for 7 years to stop that court-ordered starvation, and of course they failed, and she died in 2005. So, as I said, it's a distant memory to many of us. When I met the Schindlers, and the father, Robert Schindler, has died. He died in August 2009. But I met Mary Schindler, her mother, her sister Suzanne, and her brother Bobby at an end-of-life ethics conference sponsored by the St. Gianna Physicians Guild recently that was held in Kansas City, Kansas. And they were there giving a presentation about the fact that what happened to Terry Schiavo is not as unusual as we may think. And the deprivation of food and water, especially from the cognitively disabled, is a growing problem, one that they think is going to get worse with the passage of health care reform legislation championed by President Obama. And, of course, I also learned that what seems like a distant memory for many of us is indeed very fresh for this family and very painful, and they've really tried to turn it into something positive by dedicating themselves. All three of them now work full-time for the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network, which is a nonprofit foundation they founded with their father to advocate for the rights of the cognitively disabled and those threatened by health care rationing and euthanasia.
So we're talking not just about a few, but we're talking about hundreds of cases, over 1,000 families that they have worked with. Sounds like it is far more widespread than an isolated incident that made the headlines 6 years ago.
That's right. And as Bobby Schindler, who's executive director of the Life and Hope Network, put it to me, you know, people think this is coming, in other words, healthcare rationing, with Obamacare, but he said it's already here. And we're getting the calls 24/7. And indeed, their network has a 24-hour line that's open for families in crisis to call. And they're getting a lot of calls. They're unfortunately often getting calls even from families who have loved ones at religious hospitals where the official line is that food and water will always be provided to a patient unless he is imminently dying. But the de facto situation is that of what Bobby Schindler termed, you know, he said a lot of people are worried about death panels coming with Obamacare, but there already is a form of death panel in the ethics committees that are running in so many hospitals, running roughshod often over patients and family rights because they want to contain costs and they don't want to continue to feed or provide care for people they consider too burdensome or hopeless. And so this is a big problem. As I said, they've focused a lot on the food and water issue, the fact that this is a basic human right and shouldn't be deprived of anyone whose body can still absorb it. Of course, there comes a time when you're actually in the dying process where it's no longer helpful or comforting to the patient. But in the case of Terri Schiavo, and this is something a lot of people forget, she didn't have a ventilator. She didn't have any machines hooked up to her. And she could have lived for years, even decades, doctors say, in the persistent vegetative state. And that's what she was diagnosed in. Her family actually says she wasn't in that state. But regardless, even if she was in the persistent vegetative state, she could have lived for decades. All she needed was food, water, and basic care. And she needed a feeding tube to receive that nutrition. But she wasn't hooked up to a bunch of machines. So her situation, while shocking to many of us, is in fact being repeated in a lot of places where this idea has taken hold that the compassionate thing to do for someone who is demented or severely brain damaged or cognitively disabled is to deprive them of food and water and basic care so that they can die, allowing them to die when actually what you're doing is hastening their death, and there's a big difference there.
So what in particular about President Obama's health care reforms concerned Terri's family today?
Well, it's emphasis on cost containment and cost controls, and also the independent advisory panel I know has been cited by a number of critics of Obamacare as it's going to be given too much power, and they'll be making decisions that are going to impact all of us one way or another because they're making decisions on what the government will pay for, and that will in turn sort of set the standard for what private insurers will pay for. But that focus on cost containment, I think, is a real concern. Now, that's not to say, of course, that we have unlimited resources and that controlling costs isn't a good idea. But I think we've seen, and one thing that just the Schindlers mentioned to me that concerns them is the people that President Obama is surrounding himself with in the administration, the people who are sort of calling the shots, and invariably the people he's going to appoint to any decision-making body like this, are probably going to share his same opinion about human life. And that is that its quality, frankly, is more important than the intrinsic right to life. We've seen, of course, and on the other end of the life spectrum, his disregard for the sanctity of unborn life. And we've seen the same, you know, with his fixation on pushing embryonic research, embryo-destructive research. And so I think we have every reason to be frightened when someone with that worldview, with the idea that, you know, life is worth living as long as you're healthy enough and of the right age and the right size and you're not too much of a burden on the rest of us, and if you don't meet that criteria, you know, your life is not as valuable. If you have that mentality and you're surrounding yourself with people with that mentality, even if you don't speak it quite that clearly, those people making decisions are decisions that are going to trickle down to all of us and I think change the healthcare landscape. And already we're seeing this. I mean, Obama rolling back conscience protections for physicians and healthcare workers, you know, rolling back President Bush's limits on embryo destructive research and all across the board. So I think we have real reason to be concerned. I think the elderly have reason to be concerned. Cognitively disabled, those of us with relatives suffering from dementia, we all have reason to be very vigilant and concerned, and as the Schindlers put it to me, this isn't something that's coming. This is something that's already here, and it's going to get worse.
With less than a minute, you say that the perennial challenge, regardless of how we approach health care and end-of-life ethics, is to navigate between two extremes. What are they, and how do we rightly do that? About a minute here, Colleen.
Well, the two extremes, as I would put it, is vitalism and fatalism. I mean, there can be this vitalism mentality where we do anything we possibly can to prolong life, regardless of the burdens imposed upon the patient. And this is what I would mean by, you know, force-feeding, say, someone who's within 24 hours of dying. His body can no longer digest the food. It's causing him discomfort, and yet we're you know, trying to pump something in that the body no longer can accept. But the other extreme, and the one that I think we're in much greater danger of these days, is fatalism, and that is giving up on gravely ill patients before their time. And this is certainly the case with those who have a terminal illness, and we're seeing this in Oregon, where it's legal to kill yourself with a physician's assistance if you can, you know, show you're pretty sick, even if you're not imminently dying. But even with those who are not imminently dying, I mean, again, the Schiavo case was a woman who wasn't dying. She wasn't dying. She was physically healthy. She had severe brain damage, and we could certainly argue that her life was very impaired, but she wasn't dying. And yet she was killed, and it took her 13 days. It took that body 13 days to go kaput, because that's how long, you know, that's the kind of physical situation she was in. So I think the temptation of giving up on patients is, as I said, the greater one these days, and it's the one we really have to be wary of when we talk about healthcare reform and as we watch it being implemented. We're going to have to be very vigilant, and vigilant in the lives of our own loved ones, including being careful about to whom we entrust our power of attorney, the person that's going to make decisions for us. We better make sure that person shares our values and our commitment to the sanctity of human life.
Colleen Carol Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and you can read her columns, as usual, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
It is remarkable that it takes the death, and in this case, the grueling and prolonged death of someone who could have lived out a natural life, and yet because of the courts, because of an unthinking, uncaring ex-husband, was essentially legally put to death. It's a shame that it takes even one life to heighten our awareness of this, but there are many other lives that are on the line similarly. And so, Terry's fight, even though hers is over, continues in many other lives. When we come back, we'll talk about Joseph of Arimathea, remembered yesterday by the church. Dr. Jeff Gibbs will be our guest.
After more than 20 years, we thought we'd bring you some fresh new ideas for Raging Rivers Water Park. Try this. Raging Rivers, home of the awesome wave pool. Not bad. Raging Rivers does have an awesome wave pool. But what about the endless river, body flume, swirl pool, treehouse harbor, itty bitty surf city, and more? How about Raging Rivers? It's closer than you think. Well, it is just a short scenic drive from anywhere in the Metro St. Louis area. What else? Raging Rivers, affordable fun in the sun. Raging Rivers, the family fun destination. Raging Rivers, a great place for teens. Raging Rivers, open daily on the Great River Road in Grafton, Illinois. You know, these are all wonderful, but they just don't capture the essence of Raging Rivers. The thrills, the relaxation, the absolute ultimate water park experience. Guess there's only one way to say it. Raging Rivers, it's cool when it's hot.
Raging Rivers, it's cool when it's hot.
2-for-1 after 3 p.m. every day with coupons on Bunny Bread Buns and select Bunny Bread products.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.